episode 46 of Roxor Media.
Oh my god.
Yeah, dude, that's the new theme music.
You were totally like getting ready to scat there.
Okay,
that'll be enough.
About it.
That'll be enough.
My voice gets really high when I scat for some reason.
That's because you're a sissy.
Yeah, could be. So you're gonna pop the mic holding it like that, by the way.
I am.
Popping the mic. That's why I hold it on the side.
Oh, you hold it off to the side.
I hold it off to the side.
Gangsta style.
I'm a gangsta.
All right, then I'll change. We have another.
So we got a two mic setup. Man, I tried so hard today. I thought we were going to be able to do the headsets with the audio buddy and the whole thing and the stuff. And
there was no thing, and there was no stuff.
No love for Dan. So hopefully we're recording.
You're
going
to go to your grave with this being the last thing you ever think about.
One of these days, I'm just going to fucking haul off and buy a pair of $80 XLR headsets.
Ugh.
And just be done with it.
Man.
Or actually what we really need is mic stands. If we had mic stands and pop filters, we'd be all set.
Right.
Yeah. Right now we got to hold these fucking things.
I know,
but
I'd be happy if we could just afford pop,
pop, pop, poppity pop, pop,
poppity pop, 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 pop.
So I don't think we have any general comments about the show.
Nope.
What's the date today?
Just so we know, today is November 3rd.
Yep.
2006.
And
yeah.
Probably not going to get this out till Monday, but that's okay.
That's right. Yeah. So we usually do a quick update. What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I've been up to not much. I am continuing to enjoy my Wing Chun classes. One of the other things I thought, maybe next episode, I'd like to do a full Wing Chun review.
Ah.
I feel like I've been in it long enough to give my general impressions of the art and what it entails and the good parts and the bad parts and all that stuff. So I'll do a full review of the style maybe next show.
That would be excellent.
Yeah, because it's got some interesting aspects to it, and it's got some good and some bad, so it's not just, yay, this is great.
Yay.
Yay. I love it. How about you?
I've been up to no good.
I know that you've been writing a lot.
I have been writing a lot. I am now in the NaNoWriMo competition.
NaNoWriMo.
Which is the National Writing...
Erotic. NaNoWriMo. Oh, it's RIMO.
NaNoWriMo.
Not NaNoWriMo.
No, not NaNoWriMo.
Because NaNoWriMo is similar to my sex life.
Right.
Yeah. Much to my wife's chagrin.
All right.
I was trying to...
I don't want to talk about you or your wife's chagrin.
Okay. I worked the word chagrin into this episode. I was glad about that.
Yeah, so I've pretty much been writing, and work has been busy as all hell.
Yeah, work's been pretty busy for me, too. Oh, I do have a review later on, but one of the things I've been doing a lot lately is Kingdom of Loathing.
That's the thing that Jeff sent.
Oh, Jesus, dude.
I haven't touched it.
Don't.
Because if I do, it's going to be at work, and I've got too much stuff right now going on. Yeah. We're 3 months behind right now on our schedule at work. So.
And it's... I cursed the day that he sent that to me.
He just told me the day he collected 50,000 meat.
Yeah. Well, he likes his meat. It's one of those... I'll do this for that. Blah. Later.
You're going to talk about it later?
I'll talk about it later.
So for now, then, we're going to talk about martial arts
stuff. First thing I wanted to do was a follow-up and maybe a small discussion on martialarts101.com.
Yes.
They have reduced their prices to $5 a month now. It used to be 10, I believe. Or
really?
15. Yeah.
I thought it was always 5.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure it was $5
a month.
And we
were like, ooh, that seems a little steep.
Maybe not then. Maybe it was 10.
I thought
10.
It was 10, and it seemed a little steep.
You're probably right.
But if I think it's Jason, who If the individual that manages that site is still listening to the podcast, let us know if you've actually reduced your prices or we're just crazy. So $5.
And I'm gonna vote on crazy.
Crazy?
Yeah, because that's just me. But
well, maybe it's because I'm feeling good. But $5 a month seems a little bit more reasonable.
It does seem reasonable, actually.
Yeah. But I was looking at the site, and one of the things I thought was interesting is it's very difficult to get a critical mass to a website because they've got great content. They've got a lot of demo videos and a lot of demo features. He's got extensive forms, and it seems to me anyway, based on the form traffic, there's just not a lot of people at the site, and it's tough to get that initial traffic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and we know about this too. It's hard to keep people coming back.
Yeah.
It's hard to constantly have new stuff that keeps people interested.
They've got a decent podcast or a video cast too. So.
Yeah.
I don't know, but anyway, I just wanted to mention it again because I think they reduced their prices, although I'm not sure.
Alrighty.
But a lot of good stuff.
And
we
did an interview or a review of their website several months ago.
Yeah.
And they sent us a free T-shirt.
Yes, they did. That's right. They did. They sent us two, actually.
Yeah, we each got one.
Yeah.
We like that. Free
so,
stuff.
So, anyway, that was more of a follow-up than anything else, and maybe a little free advertising. Speaking of advertising.
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
shit, I was going to... Maybe I'll do it at the end of the episode. This is my new plan.
All right.
Is I'm going to do reverse advertising.
Okay.
So I'm going to advertise for a company and then hope they'll pay us for it. What do you think?
That's a fine idea, Dan.
Okay. So... So, you know, the martial arts supply company that I really like is Kwan.
Kwan Martial Arts Supply.
And they have a place here in Grand Rapids, and shop at Kwan if you want to get your ass kicked less.
Ooh, good.
You like that?
Good.
I just made that up off the top of my head.
I couldn't even tell.
So there we go. Maybe they'll pay us for that later.
Excellent.
Remember,
shop at Kwan.
So you'll get your ass kicked less. Ooh, I threw a little accent in there,
you did.
Too.
You did.
So I think one of the big topics, the martial art topics for the day, is self-defense versus martial arts.
That's a good topic.
And I don't want to say, I think versus is the wrong word. I think contrast and compare self-defense and the martial arts.
Okay.
One of the reasons that I started thinking about this, and I've got a little plug for another podcast.
All right.
I've got a big plug, but we won't talk about that now.
Wow. If you were to reverse those words, that would have been really bad.
What was I talking about?
Butt plugs.
Oh, butt glugs? Glug-glugs?
A podcast for self-defense.
There's a self-defense podcast.
That's what this link goes to, right?
I think so.
I went to the link, and I saw that it was
yes.
Husband-wife team.
Yes, that's what this link goes to. And the original reason I subscribed to the podcast is because I assumed that it was a martial arts podcast.
Nah.
It is and it isn't. They don't really talk about martial arts. They don't talk about how to hit people or anything like that. Like the last episode I listened to was how to avoid identity theft.
Ah.
And they go into topics
so this
about
is personal defense.
Yeah.
Whether it be martial or smartness or street stuff or whatever.
And one of the things that they point out, which I think makes a lot of sense, well, first of all, I thought it was they got a kind of a low rating by somebody on iTunes because the guy was like, they don't talk about martial arts at all, blah, 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 blah. And they, on one of the episodes, the guy was like, look, we intentionally don't talk about martial arts. And they both have black belts.
Okay.
I got up on the forums and I asked them.
Ah, nice.
But I thought one of the most interesting episodes was about domestic abuse.
Ah.
And how to identify the signs in other people. How to maybe some techniques in dealing with it if you're in it. And things like they talk about the And they say man because that's usually the case, but how, like, the husband...
Right, because if you're getting your ass handed to you by your wife, you're a sissy.
But this is the thing, is that they're not talking
kidding,
about...
Just kidding, of course, because that does happen.
Yeah. By me. or to me, I should say. but they also talk about mental abuse and things like the husband will start to cut off relationships with friends and family.
Yes.
And they will start taking away money responsibilities. And so the only way you can get money is through the husband.
Right. And slowly, before you know it, you can't survive without having them there to do the things that need to be done.
Well, and the other interesting thing they mentioned was, you know, a lot of people – on the outside go, well, it's her choice to live like that.
Nah, it doesn't work that way.
And what they don't see is the 5 or 6 years of berating the person and belittling them and saying, well, I don't really want to go to your mother's this weekend. And that continual picking away at the other person until they just... they don't have a life outside of their relationship with the other person.
Right. It's not like one day they wake up and go, no more seeing your friends, no more seeing your mother, you can't have any money unless you have
any.
It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work
it's
that way.
It's a long, lengthy process of tearing or putting up walls between, you know.
Yep.
The mind is a terribly intricate device, and you can't unravel it with the statement, well, they can just choose to leave whenever they want.
Yeah. And so, you know, they have the valid point that I think they have is that, look, when you're talking about self-defense, the information that will prevent you from getting into a physical altercation is far more valuable than the information of what do you do when you get into that physical altercation.
What do you do when it's too late to stop it, right?
Right, because I believe, anyway, their philosophy is that it is more common that you can prevent a physical altercation than you can win one when you get into it.
Right.
No matter what you've learned.
Right.
And so it's kind of like, here's the lesson for the day. Give them your wallet, and if they don't take it, kick them in the balls.
Right.
Because, and the one of the reasons I thought this was so important is that there are a lot of martial artists that teach self-defense.
Yes.
And the important point, I guess, is that the understanding that at least they give the people that are there for the class that, look, this is not self, this is one aspect of self-defense.
Yes.
Especially if you're just teaching the physical stuff, you know, like if someone grabs you here, do this, you know.
Right. Well, unlike, you know, innovative martial arts, when we teach a self-defense class, we teach very little physical stuff. I mean, the whole beginning of the whole first half of the class is all about awareness.
Right.
And, you know, the objective is before it's too late, before you're already at the point where you have to fight, you've already made several mistakes.
Right.
And the objective is to stop those mistakes before they happen.
Well, and I think that the misnomer is that people think that the physical altercation is the critical part.
Right.
It's previous to the physical altercation that's the critical part.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's really important that if you're on a dark street at night and there are three guys walking towards you, cross the street.
Right.
You know, don't be prideful and say, I'm not going to be afraid. Cross the fucking street.
Right.
And I know that you and I have talked about this before, too, is that, you know, we've had a lot of training. And when you go up against three guys,
even
who haven't had any training at all, you're gonna have that's a tough fight.
Yeah,
to
make. I don't care who you are, Bruce Lee. You pit Bruce Lee against three guys simultaneously.
It's a tough fight,
and
to
I
win.
Guarantee you, he's gonna have his hands full.
Yeah, and I think that's partially what it comes down to as well, is that even if you think by some chance you can win, you're gonna get hurt.
Right.
I mean, regardless, you're gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's important for martial artists who are teaching self-defense to do some research. and to study self-defense, not just self-defense as in kick him in the nuts, but self-defense as in how to be more aware of what's in your life, how to be more aware of others in your life,
right,
that may need your help. You know, like the abusive relationship or something like that.
Yep.
And what to do.
Right.
You know, if you're a woman with a small child and you're in an abusive relationship, or you know, more importantly, because, you know, they're not going to listen to podcasts, but what do you do then when you've identified yourself as having a problem? What's next?
Right.
And those, I personally, I think that if someone comes to a martial art or a self-defense class, that, you know, hand out some pamphlets on domestic abuse. Hand
sure.
out some pamphlets on assault
to
prevention.
To have hotline numbers.
Hotline numbers.
And all that good
yep,
stuff.
And all kinds of good stuff.
Right. Those programs, they do work. That's
yep.
why they're still around.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, if you've got younger kids in your audience and you're teaching a self-defense class, talk about where people touch that's inappropriate. You know, the bathing suit area kind of thing and things like that. But I guess my point is that the teaching someone a karate chop is not nearly as useful as what phone number do I call when my husband hits me.
Right.
Or, one of the things that they, I wish I could remember some of the points. And, you know, for me, I was like, well, I can remember some of these points and I can point them out in our podcast, but I think it's a more responsible act to just point people to their podcast.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of good. I think that, again, any martial artist teaching self-defense should listen to their podcast and just sort of be open and maybe a little bit more aware and maybe even not even draw the conclusions that they draw, but it's good information regardless.
Right.
And they talk about telling children, whenever an adult tells you something's a secret, it's not a secret.
Right.
If someone ever tells you, don't tell anyone else, tell someone else.
Yep.
So
you don't, yeah, because that's just the way it works. I mean, you don't tell a little kid this is a secret,
right?
When you're an adult,
no,
you don't do that.
You know, it's well, I think more than this is a secret, but don't tell anyone else. I mean, if you're having a surprise party for mom, that's different,
right?
But I do think that even young kids have the ability to differentiate.
Yes,
and they also said things like, if you're in trouble, run to a mom. Run to any mom.
Right.
It doesn't matter, because chances are that if you see a woman with a child and you are in trouble as a child, even though you're not theirs, that woman will take care of you.
Right.
So it's points like that that I think, again, are more valuable than karate chopping. And I've always thought that the self-confidence of the martial arts is oftentimes its true benefit to self-defense.
Yes.
Although
it helps you. Well, when you get that self-confidence, you are no longer viewed as a victim.
That's right.
People when they look at you and you have and exude that confidence,
yeah,
they immediately cross you off their list because
yeah,
they're like,
yep,
they might give me trouble.
It's like a woman walking in the park with a dog.
Right.
Small dog, big dog, doesn't really matter.
They'll draw attention.
And not only that, but the as horrible as it sounds, you just want the attacker to pass you up.
Right.
And that's...
It's like, if you're the fastest runner, the guy who's slowest
yep,
is the one who's going to get, you know... Killed
That's
by
right.
the axe murderer.
That's right. I don't want to be the... I don't need to be the fastest...
I only need to be faster than you.
Yeah. I don't need to be the fastest guy in the party. I just need to be faster
right.
than
well,
the slowest
and it comes
dwarf.
Down to the point where eventually there's a survival instinct.
Yeah.
And your instinct
yeah.
to survive is... I mean, that's what it comes down
yep.
to, but...
So anyway, I would encourage people to go check out the podcast and just be aware in your self-defense training when you're doing YMCA stuff or things like that, that... These are the kinds of things that can really, I believe, change people's lives. especially when you're talking about domestic abuse and things, because, you know, there might be somebody in your next self-defense class that knows somebody at work, and they've just had this, always had this attitude of, well, she does it to herself, it's her problem, blah, 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 blah. And you let them know that oftentimes they feel helpless and it's a slow process and they can't get out of it. If you give that person a pamphlet and they pass it on to someone who needs it, that could literally change a person's life. So,
yep.
A lot more so than teaching them
right
to karate chop.
Yeah.
So, I think that's my little spiel on self-defense versus martial arts. Not that, you know, I am truly passionate about the martial arts, so, you know.
Right.
I'm not slamming martial arts. I'm just saying it's different.
No, there's a huge difference.
Yeah.
You're right, you know.
Yeah.
I think the point is you just said it best. It's, I mean, martial arts really involves the act of fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Self-defense involves the whole thing leading up to fighting, up, you know what I mean?
Right.
Hopefully,
oh, yeah.
Hopefully stopping before you ever get that fight.
Right.
Because really, once you get to the fight, the self-defense portion...
right. Is kind of over.
Right.
Yeah. And once you get to the fight, unless you're trained a lot and have trained with repetition...
Yeah.
And what's the six things that we talked about,
yep.
You know, repetition, intention, all that stuff, you're going to have a hard time walking away from a one or two self-defense classes and go, okay, this is the thing I'm going to do. If you walk out of that self-defense class with a keychain can of pepper spray, that's a good thing.
Right.
And that has nothing to do with martial arts.
Right.
So I guess that's what I'm talking about mostly.
Right.
It's good
I agree.
Stuff.
It is good stuff.
It's good stuff.
All right. Well, that's cool. So do we know the name of this podcast?
It is The Self-Defense Show.
There you go. The Self-Defense Show.
Yeah, I mean, pretty explanatory.
That's cool.
I hope we're not... I don't think these cords will fuck anything up.
No, I don't think they will either.
I noticed that when you use your headset, or I think it's yours. I'm sure it's yours. It scrapes or something when the... there's a little dongle on it thing, the volume knob.
Yeah.
And so through the pot, we get...
Really?
Every once in a while. It's I'm sure it only makes me crazy.
I've never heard anything
no,
in there.
No, I can't imagine anyone else probably has either.
you're a little bit of a freak.
I'm a little bit of a freak.
Yeah.
I'm going to get pop filters and mic stands. See, this is the other thing is that how most people do podcasts is they have a desk set up. In their house, it records directly to Audacity.
Right.
They've got mic stands and pop filters. They leave it set up. They sit down to do a podcast. They turn everything on, and they're done.
Yeah.
We don't do
we
that.
Don't have a permanent thing. Plus, it's nice because we can move around. We can do
it's
this at your
really,
house. We can do that at my house.
It's
we can
really
the
nice to be able to move it around.
We can do it outside.
Yeah.
Maybe if we wanted
no,
to.
We're gonna, well, we could.
We could now, actually, especially if we got some sort of...
We just couldn't use the Audio Buddy.
No. The audio. Say that with a little vehemence.
Audio buddy. What's up, buddy?
Okay. So I posted a little topic on here.
Yeah.
I found a couple of reality videos.
Oh, dude. This
did you
website,
watch them?
Not only did I watch these, I watched about 100 more on this website.
So did I. The website is fun. I don't even remember the name of the website. Most of them, they're just basically all fights. Street fights, all sorts of crazy fights.
Girl-on-girl action.
Most of the, yeah. Most of the fights, to be perfectly
I'm like,
honest,
lose the top.
And now
she's going to get her top ripped off, I know it.
I know, keep watching. Wait, pause, was that a nipple? The thing I noticed, interesting that you mentioned the girl fights, is when you have girl fights, what surprises me is they will grab each other by the hair
and not fucking let go.
And pound on each other's faces.
Yeah.
And yet, I think maybe one or two videos have ever seen blood.
Yep.
Have I ever seen anything? And I'm thinking, if two men were to grab each other by the hair and pound each other as hard as they could in the face, there would be blood 99.9% of the time.
I did notice, though, that on some of these videos that a lot of these people were not swinging for the fences.
No, they were just little...
And actually...
It looked like they were tenderizing meat.
Well, what I thought was interesting is that what it reminded me a lot of is what the Gracies did. When they got somebody on the ground and they wanted to maneuver them, they didn't really want to hurt them.
Right.
That wasn't their intention. Their intention was to maneuver them. they'd take these quick little jabs, and they weren't even full strikes, and just pop them in the head. Boom, boom, boom,
and the guy
boom.
Would move.
And then the guy would either move his arm to cover, or he would move his body to get out of the way of those little punches.
Right.
It just reminded me of that.
Yeah, where except for like, these people had no tactic.
Right, they were straight from the elbow. They were elbow punches, pretty much.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was interesting. The other thing I noticed is I must have watched like 100 of those too.
Yeah.
One, I think twice, I saw two videos where anybody threw any kicks, ever.
I saw that too. And one of the interesting things I saw a lot of was you'd start out and not the surprise videos where like two people would square off.
Right.
And when they would square off, they would stalk each other.
Yep.
For a second. And my first thought was fucking leg kick right there. Right there. You pop a leg kick right in that dude's knee, he is going down.
And I watched the stand. And another thing, too, people had horrible structure.
Yeah.
Somebody would push somebody or pull their hair, and they literally would fly around the room.
Yep.
And it was like, why, have you ever never stood up before?
Right.
I mean, it's just, and they're things that people, they're untrained people.
Yeah.
They never think, when I'm fighting someone, I should stand like this because it'll help me.
I actually saw a couple where it seemed to me that at least one of the two had some training.
Right.
Did you see the one in the ditch? The ditch fight?
No.
Anyway, it looked like one of the guys was a wrestler.
Ah.
Because he was maneuvering around this guy, this other guy, pretty efficiently.
Oh, yeah.
And his punches weren't very... you're right, because one of the things that surprised me the most, and I did see it in another video, is that what really surprised me is that I have a tendency to think, and maybe this is not true with adrenaline and all that stuff, but I can hit a heavy bag pretty fucking hard.
Right.
And if I'm thinking, if I fucking let loose and hit someone in the face as hard as I could, like intending to do dramatic harm.
Right.
It's hard for me to believe that
That they wouldn't at least bleed,
you know. Yeah. And I'm following up, you know, if I really think that the first punch is going to win the fight,
right?
At least,
well, if anything, it's going to set that mental landslide up where the other person's like, "Oh crap,
oh shit,
I've just been hit. That hurt. My lip is cut. I'm bleeding. And then it snowballs from there, and they're done.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, we're totally off topic here.
Are we?
The reason I wanted to bring this up, these two in particular were actually news footage clips of guys with knives. The first one you'll see here is a man with a knife versus the police. Did you watch both these?
I watched the man with a knife versus the police.
Okay, and here's this guy, and I don't know where it was at, but he's in the middle of this field. He climbs over a fence. He's got a big knife, like a kitchen knife.
10-inch, they said.
10-inch knife. And you
looks
can
like
see
a
the
Bowie
damn
knife.
Thing. It's horrible, horribly huge.
Yeah.
And these cops decide they're not going to just take him out. They want to try to talk him down.
Right.
Well, the guy eventually just loses it, goes into rampage, is chasing these police around, knifing. He knifes three of them.
Yep.
They're shooting at him now.
Yep.
All this stuff. The guy's still running on. He knifes three of those police before they finally put him down.
Yeah.
And he was surrounded by, there was probably eight cops there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just a little proof in the pudding that having a gun and having 80 of your friends around doesn't mean that three of you won't get knifed.
I do think, though, that... And this is not to say that I would react any fucking differently, but it seems to me that the cops didn't react the way they should have.
Well, they should have just had their weapons out and said, "Get your ass on the ground. You got 10 seconds."
I think they should have put one in his leg.
It doesn't work that way. I mean, you can't aiming for the leg. You ask any professional.
Dude, he was like 10 feet away from the cop.
It doesn't matter. You ask any professional law enforcement officer, and the last thing they will ever tell you to do is to aim for a limb or a leg or anything like that. That's a horrible thing to do. A, it's a small target. B, they can move at any time. You don't know where the bullet's going to go if they leave. You always aim. If you're going to shoot somebody, you aim for center of mass. It's your best chance to get a hit, and you don't aim for the legs. It's a silly thing to do, and anyone who knows how to use guns will tell you that.
Okay.
Ask anybody
I will trust you.
To say, and you're right, and I understand why you say it. Sure, shoot him in the leg. He'll fall over. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
In that case,
it's
I think that it's a difficult decision to make to say someone that is standing with six cops surrounding him and has a knife and has threatening behavior should they get shot and killed.
Right. And I think the cops made the right choice to say, let's try to talk him down.
So my only thought is that when it seemed to me that when he went after the first cop, all the other cops scattered.
Right.
Instead of
jumping the guy.
He's going after that one. We're going to jump him.
Right. Well, because at that point, and think about it, you're surrounded by six cops. We'll say there's probably six. At this point, when the cops have you surrounded, if they pull out their guns and they actually decide to shoot, there's a pretty good chance they'll hit each other.
So and at that point, that I think is a big problem.
Right.
Is that,
so at that point, they can't use their guns now.
Right.
So he's taken a weapon away from them by the fact that they made a bad mistake by circling him.
Yeah.
Of course, they wanted to keep him from running.
Right.
Now, when he attacks that guy, they certainly can't shoot him.
Right. Because now they're rolling around on the ground.
Right.
They can't shoot him.
Now you got two choices. Now, man, the guy didn't stay very long on anybody. He knifed a guy
and
moved on.
Right.
So he was moving fast. But the point is, you're right. They should have converged. So I guess my point is, take a look at that video and just, it's interesting to see.
No. It's
even 6-on-1, that knife puts that guy in a tremendously good position.
I think that people underestimate the deadliness of a knife.
They do. Now, to show you something else, that's all, that the next video is this guy with a knife, and I say the guy with a knife is a machine. This guy walks into a little like a restaurant or something.
Okay.
I don't know what it was.
A cafe.
A cafe. Maybe.
A bodega.
Well, it must have been a hotel or something.
Okay.
In a lobby.
Ah.
And you see a security camera, and he walks up to the security guy and reaches into his back pocket, and immediately you can tell he's going for a weapon. The security guard jumps up, and they're fighting now. This guy knifes the security guard a couple times. Meanwhile, this guy behind the counter now grabs a chair, hits this guy over the head with a chair, the guy with the knife. The guy still fighting, doesn't
really
faze him. The wife grabs another chair. She hits him over the head with a chair. Still, the guy's fighting.
Really?
The guy grabs a metal broom handle and starts beating this guy over the head as hard as he can, bends the metal broom handle over the guy's head. The guy's still fighting. Doesn't even flinch.
Jeez, dude.
They beat this guy. Eventually, the guy stops fighting with the guy and gets up
and turns
starts fighting
to the other
his
two.
Way out the door. Now, by this time, the cops show up. But I tell you, this guy did not fall, did not falter, did not blink. They were beating him as hard as they could.
I wonder if he was
head.
Doped up or something.
That's my
damn,
point.
Dude.
And there you go. What do you do when a guy's got a knife and there's three of you and you're beating the crap out of him with everything? You're beating him with sticks and hitting him with chairs, and he doesn't even flinch.
Well, I think that you're personally, and what I have been taught, and I just think your best bet and your first priority is to control the weapon.
Exactly.
Because if this guy's punching you in the gut while you are grabbing his knife hand, that's okay.
Right. I will gladly let you pound me about the head and face as long as you aren't stabbing
me. My wife and this other guy take a chair to your head.
Right. And the guy did. The security guard eventually, that's what he did. The security guard was getting beat on, but he concentrated on the knife. He did get stabbed, but he lived. In fact, they let him out of the hospital the next day.
Really?
And he controlled the knife as best he could and eventually got the knife away from the guy.
Wow. That's
impressive. He knocked it out of his hand. It took him quite a long time. It was a struggle. And this guy, you could tell, the security guard was trying his best to not do anything but get a hold of that knife and keep it from stabbing him.
And actually, I would say that, you know, as a trained martial artist, that's probably the best you can hope for. I mean, that's...
Yeah,
I would think that from a knife attack, that's a pretty. If you're out of the hospital that day from a knife attack, you can count yourself lucky. You can count yourself lucky, and you can count yourself that your training paid off,
right?
Because it takes some skill just to do that.
Yep. So anyway, I thought they were impressive, and these are kind of extenuating circumstances.
And we deal
with the guy being had. I wanted to show these because they obviously happened. They were real footage of real encounters.
Right, right.
And this is the way it works sometimes.
Well, and we've had a lot of discussions about knife fighting and the reality of the one video, the reality of defense against a knife.
Where they used completely unrealistic
scenarios
to talk about the reality of knife fighting.
And that's not to say that they didn't have some good points.
No.
You know, and sort of I think what it comes down to is it's a lot like How much time in your martial arts school do you want to spend learning to defend yourself against three opponents? Probably not a lot.
Eh.
Because when you get up to three opponents, you're fucked.
You are.
And sometimes you're just
fucked. At that point, you're not fighting, you're surviving.
Right. And so how much time do you want to dedicate in your martial arts to defense against a knife?
For me personally, I'd say a lot, to be honest. You want to know why? Because...
Why? You're right. It's a survivable attack.
Right. And the thing is, the more you get used to that, the better your chances. Right. I'm not saying your chances are tremendous.
Right. But it's a survivable attack.
And realistically today, I mean, I don't know. All of my friends have pocket knives.
Yeah. A lot of people have knives.
You never know when somebody's just going to go, fuck it, I'm just going to pull out my knife.
Well, and it's an easy weapon. You know, especially for criminals.
Right. And you can make them out of all sorts of things. I mean, a ballpoint pen. I mean, that can stab you.
Right. Well, not only that, but like I say, it's as far as criminals are concerned.
Right.
It's potentially, and I haven't done the research, it's potentially harder to get a gun or to carry a gun. I mean, if you're a known criminal and you're busted carrying a gun, you're kind of screwed. If you're busted carrying a knife, not so much. So it's one of those things where it's simply a more convenient weapon.
Right.
But just as deadly.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just as deadly.
Definitely.
So I think that covers martial arts. Did you have any other martial arts?
No.
Who's now or what's not?
No.
The thing and the stuff?
I think I'm all.
Well, let's say sayonara to our martial art podcast listeners. And we'll see you same martial art time, same martial arch. No, not same time.
No,
we don't do these on a regular schedule.
It'll be a different time.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. But it will be on the same channel.
It will be. So let's move on. Science and tech stuff. That's my science and tech noises.
if you're gonna scat between each one of these little categories,
no, dude,
we do.
That wasn't a scat. That was science.
I don't know what that was.
That was tech and science noises.
That was.
No, it wasn't. It was bloop 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 choo choo choo. See the choo choo? Those are lasers.
Oh, choo choo! That's what lasers choo, sound. Choo choo!
Oh, no! Those are plasma rifles.
Oh,
yeah, lasers go pew pew. It's a little bit different.
You're right. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, very subtle though.
We don't have any tech tips.
We do not have any tech tips. Wait, do I have one?
Nope.
No tech tips.
Okay.
God, I could have sworn I had one.
All right, well, maybe it won't come to us.
Well, I've got a good tip for tech.
Okay.
That is upgrade to Firefox 2.0.
Firefox. Get Firefox.
Get Firefox. You'll be happier. Firefox.
Whee!
Firefox helps fight depression.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it?
Because, no.
Oh.
Not really.
Firefox 2.0.
Now, have you been using this?
Of course I have.
I have been using this as well,
yeah,
and I have been enjoying it greatly.
So have I. Greatly.
Greatly.
I haven't noticed anything tremendously different.
I think, well...
Tabbing's a little bit different.
Tabbing's a little bit different.
Looks like they cleaned it up a little bit.
The other thing is that if you didn't use, I think it's called Tab Plus, the Tab Plus
Tab Mix Plus.
Tab Mix Plus. Now a lot of the Tab Mix Plus features have been added directly into Firefox 2.0.
Yes, and in fact, Tab Mix Plus was no longer compatible with the new version of Firefox.
As well as Session Saver, I believe, because the
it's now built in.
Saving of the sessions is now built in.
Yes,
so
which is really nice.
If you use some of those things, you probably won't see much different in that area.
And additionally, if you do not use Delicios, you should. They have integrated it into Firefox.
Oh, have they? I was always using the plugin, so
it's and that's what I did. They haven't the integration between the plugin and Firefox is awesome.
Oh, it's dude, it's so cool. I use it constantly.
Yeah, so
constantly.
You should no longer ever be using anything to save your bookmarks.
And
but
for
Delicious.
God's sakes, don't do it on your client.
Nope.
When you go up to bookmarks, add bookmark. Well, I guess if you're using one computer all the time, but keep in mind if you're saving it into your favorites, or what is Firefox? Bookmarks.
Yeah.
If you're saving it into your bookmarks, then if you ever, you know, reformat that computer or buy a new computer or...
Right. You're going to forget.
You're
going to
forget. And they're gone. If you put them into Delicious, it
You'll
lets
have
you...
them forever.
Forever.
That was scary. That was our tribute to Halloween.
Halloween. Oh, good.
Technical Halloween.
Technical Halloween. Pew, pew. It lets you save them with tags and whatnot.
Right.
So oftentimes they're
it's brilliant.
They're very easy to find within Delicious.
It's brilliant.
And you can share your stuff with other people. In fact, if you go to Delicious / Ed Willie is mine, EDWILLI. Those are all my tags. And yours is probably Delicious /
Shybeck.
We also tried to do the Delicious / Podzor. But
it just didn't really get used.
The biggest problem is that I'd have to log in as that and then log out as the other and the blah, and it was just a pain in the
screw
ass.
That.
So
Whatever.
I'll tell you what, one of the things I love about Firefox 2.0 is integrated spell check.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That is so cool. So if I'm doing a form posting.
However, it doesn't work with Writely.
That doesn't surprise me, though. Doesn't Writely have their own spell check?
They do.
Yeah. So if I'm doing I find it most useful on the forms.
Yes.
Because if I'm doing a form post somewhere, oftentimes if it's a big one, I'll copy and paste it into Word to check my spelling.
Right.
And you don't have to. It's a right click, and it
gives you
does
a little
the
thing
suggest.
There, and all the words that it thinks are spelled wrong are underlined in red. Yep. It's great.
And I think it's a lot. I use it in Gmail. A lot as
Me
well
too.
Because the Gmail spell check is great, but it's really nice if I don't know. I just like to correct stuff as I'm typing instead of clicking the button and seeing what's wrong. And it puts that nice little underline on there so you know it's spelled wrong. And
yep,
it's
fast,
just one
too.
Of the
it
coolest
snap.
Features.
It doesn't bog anything down.
No,
like so there you go. Get Firefox.
Get Firefox. It'll make you happy.
Maybe they'll pay us.
Ooh. Firefox pay us.
Podzor says use
what's
Firefox
next? This is not really a science and tech stuff.
No, this is interesting though.
But it sort of stems from a science and tech stuff.
Right, it stems from the X
Prize.
The X Prize.
It's the idea.
This would be the
of,
P Prize, right?
Of that would be the P Prize. How to motivate people to do things you want to do them. You want to
do
them?
Do them? Well, money. That always makes people want to do you.
Well, and
me.
that's what it comes down to, is that if you want somebody to do something...
Pay them.
Pay them. Or have a contest. That's,
right. That pays.
Yeah. That pays. True.
It's the way it works. Money makes the world go round.
What this story comes down to is that some entrepreneur in Africa somewhere has said that he will give $5 million... to essentially the best African
the
president.
Best African president, yes.
And I think that, I don't know this personally, but I believe that corruption is
rampant
in a lot of those countries. And
I think any country with politicians.
Well, yeah. But I don't think $5 million would do it for one of ours. They'd be like, $5 million? Ha, ha, ha. I will urinate $5 million this afternoon.
I don't know. I think if you're going to give that to an individual, a lot of these politicians don't have that individual money at their disposal. This is, I'm going to give you $5 million personally. Not, I'm going
could
to
you,
contribute
could we do that?
$5 million to your
could,
campaign
could
fund.
Could somebody say, well, see, and I didn't read the fine print, because here's what it comes down to is, what does it mean to be the best?
Well, that's up to this guy, obviously.
And that's up
to
this guy.
He gets to set the criteria.
Right.
Who knows? But yeah, there's no reason you can't. I mean, there's no reason you cannot do that. Cannot.
Wouldn't it have some funding laws or something?
Why?
Like
because you're not giving it to them for their campaign.
You'd be giving
They'd
it to
have
them
to
after
win.
The fact.
They would have to win and then rule And then he would have to say,
"You were great.
You were great compared to everybody else. You're the best. Here's your $5 million.
I think it would be weird for, like, you know, a U.S. president for somebody to go, "Here you go. You did a great job. Here's your $5 million. I'll tell you what, if this fucking thing worked for our president, I'd donate to the cause. Right. But I don't know.
Of course, the problem then with money is you get people who are only interested in the money.
Well, and, you know, this is one guy's opinion, so it makes it a little easier.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. So I just thought it was an interesting story based on the X-Prize philosophy. What do we got next? Oh, major update to Xbox Live. This is actually probably a video game thing, isn't it?
It is.
So, we're just going to keep it here because I'm talking about it.
All right.
And I like to talk about it. There's a big update to Xbox Live, and that's it.
Well, so, I tried to read through this article, but there was a lot of words.
I actually tried to read through this article, but I found myself...
not caring?
Drifting off. No, the one thing that I did notice that jumped out at me, that's the biggest thing, is that supposedly, if you have Media Player 11 installed on your home network, you will be able to play music and video through your Xbox from that system that Media Player 11 is installed on, which is one of the things that I've been dying to do, which means that you can potentially download a torrent, convert it to WMV, and then play it on your TV via your Xbox 360.
So you'd play it across the network.
Yes.
Through your Xbox because it was on this machine that had Media Player 11.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. So
then you wouldn't have to have that extra setup you have for housing all your stuff.
That's right. That's right, which I took down.
You did?
Yeah. I've talked about that, didn't I?
You didn't tell me you took it down.
Oh, I've got a server in the basement now.
Yeah. You said you flipped it up.
That was the machine I used.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what'd you do with all your movies?
They're on there.
Oh, but you're just not using it to push them out to your TV.
Right.
Ah, gotcha.
Right, yeah. And I'm using Hamachi, so I can actually...
Hamachi!
Yeah.
So, cool. This Xbox Live update then, it's
going to
come automatically, right?
No. Well...
I mean, like, you're just going to be able to log on to Xbox Live, and it's going to download some stuff to your Xbox.
Yeah. There was some other cool stuff on this. I did want to hit the high points, but now I don't remember any of them at all. Stream stuff, changes, boost, yearly fee.
Still will not require a monthly charge, which is nice.
Oh, I know. Their premium service requires a monthly charge.
Right, but the standard...
I know what it was. They were doing the big update because the PlayStation 3 is coming out.
Right.
And the PlayStation 3 is going to have the free service.
Okay.
So,
I
don't
you
know.
Know what?
I'm so unexcited about the PlayStation 3.
I could care less.
Yeah, me too.
I could care less.
Me too.
You know, I started out being excited about it, but those guys at Sony really pissed me off.
Yeah, me too. So, anyway, I guess let's see. They're going to have more titles for Xbox Arcade. They're going to have an auto-download option to automatically add new game demos. A slightly spiffier interface, and probably the biggest thing is that you can stream media.
I think the streaming media is the biggest one by far.
Yeah.
The rest of that stuff's crap.
Well, I've been thinking about hacking my old Xbox to make it a media player. The only problem...
Well, now you don't have to.
What's that?
Now you don't have to.
Now I don't have to. The only downside is, this is what really irritates me, is that the wireless connection for my Xbox 360 is $100.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's built into the Nintendo Wii.
Shut up. And that's coming out in...
16 days.
16 days till the Nintendo Wii.
16 days.
So, anybody out there that wants a Wii, my best recommendation is going to Target early in the morning or camping out at Meijer at midnight.
Ooh. I may end up doing that.
Camping out at Meijer?
Just doing something to get my hands on one the day they come out.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to happen, but...
I'm pretty excited about the Wii. I don't think I'm going to get one right away.
You're not?
I've got to get rid of some of my other systems, for God's sakes.
See, I don't need to have a system anymore. And if I'm going to get one, that's the one I'm going to get.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay for anything else.
I was going to say, you're welcome to borrow one of mine if you want.
No. I'm really only interested in the way
I've got.
I'm really only interested in the Wii.
I've got four consoles and two handhelds.
See, the only thing that will pull me away from my online gaming right now is the ingenuity of the Wii.
Right.
And I don't know how long that'll last. Yeah, so you're still throwing up in the air.
You're a PC gamer, and we've talked about it before.
But I'm not a PC gamer, because if I'm going to play anything other than massive online role-playing games, I'm going to do it on a console.
Right. But you're not going to play anything other than massively online role-playing.
Exactly.
Fuck-a-doos.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay.
Fuck-a-doo and push it over.
Let's go and move on to
try
to get Dan to shut the hell up.
Movie stuff.
Mike did a review of The Prestige.
Yeah, and then this...
have you seen this movie?
This preview looks pretty exciting.
This movie is the bomb.
Oh, have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Ooh, it's the bomb, huh?
It was fantastic. We'll see what Mike said.
Is it the bomb sheezy?
What did Mike say?
Mike said, in short, this film is what cinema is all about. Great acting, imaginative story, and enjoyable twists. Told in a manner similar to Fight Club...
All right, that'll be enough.
Okay.
Wow. I think this is the first time I've ever heard Mike say anything good about anything coming from Hollywood.
He says, Michael Caine, Christian Bale, Hugh Jackman equals incredible cast.
I totally
agree.
Or as the
French say, cast.
Cast.
Cast incredible.
Incredible. I totally agree with that. I think that this movie was absolutely brilliant. My wife and I went and saw it, and Ellie loved it. If you're in the mood for a really good movie, you have got to see it.
Okay.
You don't have to see it on the big screen.
Well, that's
good.
You
need to see the movie because it's very well done.
Okay.
And
it looked like it was going to be exciting.
It is. Yeah. It starts out a little slow. And they have this very interesting way where they jump back and forth between the two main characters.
Yeah.
And sort of. You'll see when you watch the movie.
And I apologize for anyone that's seen the forum posting. I put the wiki article out there for the movie and didn't realize it because I didn't really read it, but Mike informed me that it was a total spoiler.
Ah.
So don't read that if you haven't seen it yet.
Right.
And I don't know why you would read it if you had seen it.
Right.
So, and it's also, there's a book out there. So if you really, really like the movie.
Eh. I mean, I love the movie, but I can't believe this movie was based on a book. Which means they wrote the book after the movie. And
no, they didn't. It's a really, really old book.
Really?
Yeah, it was written in 1200 BC.
Well, I stand corrected then. I may have to look at the book then.
Yeah. I know, I think it was written in the 40s.
All right, and then we also have...
Somebody posted the Dresden Files.
Yeah, who the hell was it? God, I don't remember now.
It was Flurfy Nerve.
It's so horrible with this crap.
It's a flirt. I know. We should be giving props to all our peeps.
Props to our peeps.
Yeah, peep props.
The Dresden Files, we did actually cover this quite a bit back several months ago before it was so newly fresh on the horizon.
Oh, we did.
And I'm also from the Department of Redundancy Department.
the Department of Redundancy Department. I like that, dude. That's good.
Who sent this to us?
I don't know. I'm looking it up.
It wasn't under movies. I think it was under...
You need to fucking keep talking while I'm looking it up.
All right,
because
I'm talking.
I'll tell you what. The clicky clicks on the radio...
Hey, I can't talk while you're talking.
So
shut it.
Not
shut
so
it.
Okay.
Jim Butcher wrote the Harry Dresden Files, which is a whole series of books about a modern-day wizard who is also a private dick.
That's awesome.
See what happens when you let me talk? Anyway, they're making this into a...
you start making dick jokes?
Yep. Dick, 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 dick. How many dicks is that? A lot.
off the deep end,
Totally.
Off the deep
This
end.
Is going to be on the Sci-Fi Channel. I don't know...
Dragoolia.
I don't know if this is going to be a continuing series, but I believe they're probably going to do more than one.
I hope so.
The books are fantastic read. Jim Butcher's a great author. I would recommend them. I have in the past. So anyway, they're going to make a movie out of this book, and I hope they do.
No, wait, is it a movie or a series?
It's going to be. It's on the Sci-Fi Channel, and I don't know. It's going to be a series. But I don't. But I'm imagining it's going to cover one of the books.
Original sci-fi series.
Series. Yep.
Yep.
And so. The guy they have playing.
January.
I don't know who this guy is, but the picture.
He looks like a Burger from Sex and the City.
He does look like Burger from Sex and the City.
Yep.
And pretty gay of you to know that he's
for all of you heterosexual men out there, that would be the guy from Office Space.
Right.
Yeah.
But this guy does not strike me as that's not the impression I got of Harry Dresden.
You were not struck by him.
Right.
Okay. Well, I
imagine
heard,
Harry being a little bit geekier.
Speaking of Sci-Fi Channel, I guess Battlestar Galactica is moving to NBC.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think so.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I've been dying to do that. And I told Dergulia the same thing. I would love it if I could just pick out the Sci-Fi Channel only.
Yeah.
That's the only cable channel I want. I don't want any of the rest of them. They're bullshit. I will never watch them.
Yeah.
I would watch the Sci-Fi Channel.
So I think it's moving. And the only
and
thing that
Battlestar
I worry
Galactica
about...
Battlestar Galactica this season's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, dude. It's so good. That's... I buy three series from iTunes. Lost, Heroes, and Battlestar Galactica.
And Heroes is freaking awesome.
Yeah, what a great show.
So I really want to buy I just
and I would you know it's funny because the whole DRM thing is coming home to me cuz I would like to let you watch those the copies that I have purchased, but I have the DRM.
Right.
You know, and it's so frustrating because, I mean, if I had the DVD, I could loan it to you.
Right.
But I can't.
You
I'm
can't.
Screwed.
Yep.
So it pisses me off.
That's right. Yeah.
I have heard.
The reason I'm not going to purchase them is because once I watch them, I won't watch them again.
Well, I have heard that what some people do is I could give you the files, authorize your computer to my iTunes account.
Right.
And then you can deauthorize it when you're done watching them.
Right.
So.
By the way.
Anywho.
Maybe you know the answer to this, so we're sort of going back to tech stuff, but.
Yes.
I've got three computers that are authorized for my iTunes account.
Yes.
But I only have one authorization left, which means I must have reformatted a computer I had authorized
and you're
before
fucked.
I deauthorize it. So I'm wondering, is there any way I can call them and just say, deauthorize all my computers?
I think you can send them an email and say, deauthorize my account.
So it'll deauthorize everything, and I'll just have to reauthorize.
You'll have to reauthorize each one.
And I would do that. I'm probably never going to. I'll be fine, but
the thing is,
it's,
though,
it's annoying.
Is that the problem with that is that what happens is when you authorize a computer, it calls home to Apple.
Right.
And says, hey, does this username match this password? And
right.
It says yes. It sends a certificate back to the computer to say that computer is authorized.
Right.
So I don't think that they have any way of knowing for sure that a computer has been deauthorized. There's no way, because when I start up a file, when I start up a DRM'd file,
yeah,
it checks with the ticket on the computer. It doesn't call home to say, is this authorized? It checks on the computer itself. So I could pull my computer off the web and just run all the files.
Right.
And then call Apple and say, deauthorize all my computers. Well, they can't get to that one because it's not on the web. So they wouldn't know it existed.
So they wouldn't have to check in. I see.
So I don't really know how that works.
That's why I asked. Because it's ridiculous. Because if I have a computer, you know, and
yeah.
I go through and do that, and it's like, well,
yeah.
I used them all up, but I had to reformat five computers, and now I need to deauthorize.
And
there's
the problem with DRM.
Yeah.
There's the problem with DRM.
Hate them.
Yeah.
We hate them.
We hate
okay.
them.
Movie making. We have a movie making.
We do. I was so excited about this. There's a new vodcast out there.
Okay.
That's called Video Grunt.
Ah.
And it looks like a pretty interesting website. The guy's only got 5 episodes, but it is very well produced. And right now he's going through the basics. He's talking about why the why the 4x3 aspect ratio and how the 4x3 aspect ratio came to be.
Oh, interesting.
And where the 16x9 aspect ratio came to be.
Okay.
Or how it came about. And
he does these as videos?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. And it's really, really interesting. Like, I guess back in the 60s or something like that, they had a bunch of different widescreen formats.
Right.
And essentially this one guy sort of laid them all on top of each other and then drew a big box around that.
Said they'll all fit in there?
And it turns out that the aspect ratio for the big box is 16x9. And so everybody said, okay, so if we start making screens for 16x9, it will best fit all of these different kinds of aspect ratios. And that's where 16x9 came from.
Interesting.
So I guess in the next episode he's going to be talking about interlacing versus non-interlaced.
Right.
One of the things that I know that he's going to be talking about in the future because he was on This Week in Media.
And he was
talking about his vodcast Video Grunt. One of the things that he's going to be talking about that has forever confused me is pixel size.
Right.
Because you have square pixels and you have non-square pixels, and what the fuck is the fucking difference?
Right.
And I don't understand, and I don't know, and I'm very confused. So I've noticed that it doesn't make that big a difference, but I don't know. It's just... like when I try to format it for NTSC,
it's the same reason that you're annoyed by the little scratchings of my little dongle.
Well, it's yeah, that's true. I don't like your little dongle.
Your dongle keeps scratching me.
I would really suggest for anybody, and again, you know, okay, I understand 4x3 and 16x9, but the history of it is kind of interesting.
I find that stuff interesting as well.
So, I mean, essentially, what the guy did was he took a piece of 35mm film. And said, okay, the image is as wide as the film can be, and then the image will be four, you know, the tick marks on the side?
Yeah.
It's going to be four ticks high. The aspect ratio that happened to be was 4x3. And even today, our computer monitors are 4x3 because of that.
Right.
I always wondered why they weren't square.
Movies are influential.
Yep.
Squares are so yesterday.
That's true.
They should be circles.
It's rectangles. Circles?
Yeah.
Then all your forms would have to be circular.
Sweet. That'd you know how many awesome. Times I get people at my workplace going, how come everything you do is square? How come you don't have more circles?
Oh, Christ.
I'm like, because circles are dumb. That's why I don't have more circles.
How come your nose isn't bleeding? Bam! Oh, it is. Good.
How come your balls don't ache when I kick you like this?
Kick him in the nuts. So, okay. Video Grunt.
Okay, so Video Grunt. There's
speaking
our
of,
movie
speaking
making
of grunting.
Speaking of grunting.
And next up for bid on the Rockstar Media Podcast.
RPG stuff.
RPG stuff.
All right.
RP Tools or RP Tools.
RP Tools. RP Tools. RPTools.net. For anyone who wants to run a remote D&D or a remote gaming session with a role-playing game, go to rptools.net and use all those tools. They are awesome.
Now, what's the other one that we sort of experimented with for a little bit?
That was RPG...
So don't use RPG. Use RP Tools.
Right.
OpenRPG.
OpenRPG.
Booyah!
And OpenRPG is good, but this is way better.
So this is sort of the ultimate product for this, then.
And I'm not going to go into a whole lot of depth here, but I wanted to say this. I'm going to go into a lot of depth after we have our December 2nd game. It'll be our first big test of our first remote D&D session. I think you guys will be blown fucking away by how cool this is. And it'll actually give us an opportunity to hopefully do bi-weekly sessions.
Oh, wow. That'd be pretty cool.
So, So they have four tools up there. They have the map tool, which is the main thing. They have a...
What are we playing?
We're playing D&D.
D&D, okay.
Yeah. They have a token tool, which
is
allows you
to... Is this for D&D?
Yeah. Yeah. It's primarily for D&D, so they have all this stuff.
Or D20, anyway.
D20, right. Yeah. But the token tool is awesome. All you do is drag a picture onto it, and it's got pre-built little tokens around
it. Oh, nice.
You center it over it, hit save it, and now you got a token to use in your game.
Very nice.
Seconds. Literally takes seconds to build a library of tokens to use.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Wow, very cool.
And then they have an initiative, or they have an encounter tracker, which lets you build encounters of monsters and track initiative and track special events.
Nice.
It's very intuitive. Everything's done in Java. You can obviously run your own server and check in. And
is it responsive?
Super.
Really?
Yes.
Because usually Java's a little bit laggy.
And I'll show you some of this afterwards, but you can do, I mean, you can drag the view around with the right mouse button and just drag it.
Ah,
zoom in and out.
Really?
Zoom in and out, and it sizes everything perfectly with
really?
The mouse thing.
So nice, smooth 2D graphics.
You can resize the grid on the fly.
Wow.
It's out of control.
Wow.
These guys did a phenomenal job.
All right.
So I highly
recommend this.
Very
cool.
And even if you do stuff around the table like we do with projectors, this will be used from now on.
Now, is this all across port 80 then? Do you have to do anything weird to your router?
You can set your own port.
But if I'm logging into your game, do I have to do something weird to my router?
Nope.
So it's just easy to connect. I'm guessing there's a server out there somewhere that holds all the games.
My server.
Your
server.
It runs
right on your computer. You specify a port, specify an IP address. You can post it to their RPGNet or RPG Tools server. Their server's a little unstable.
But all you really have to do is send that port. Now, you have to port forward off of your router if you are hosting the game.
Yeah, because I have a network.
Right, but those people that aren't hosting the game...
Right.
Just,
when it catches that port, it sends it right to my computer. Yeah.
Nice.
You can do multiple maps at the same time. It's a little floating panel in the right-hand corner.
Wow.
You just mouse over.
So you can do an overview map and a
And you can also force the players to your current view. You can do little things like if you want to go to a specific spot on the map.
Is this a commercial
thing? No, it's all open source.
Really? Wow.
If I want to go to the token of my dragon, I just type in go to dragon and it centers the screen.
Boom.
It'll blow you away. So
that's
cool. We'll give a big full report after the game because I think that this software in particular, people are going to be raving about it. I hope they
excellent.
Are. We should be very into it. So we'll see how it goes, and hopefully
excellent.
It'll be. I heard it's pretty stable.
Yeah.
And so far, all the stuff that I've done, the tests I've done with Jeff, have worked out brilliantly.
Cool. Very cool.
So
let's move on to video game stuff, and we'll give a full review of RP Tools after our gaming session.
I just want people to know about it now, so they can go try it out for themselves.
Video game stuff. It's amazing how the video game stuff sounds so much like the science and tech stuff.
I know.
It's true.
All right.
I rented Family Guy on my PSP. And it was mildly amusing.
What do you mean? The game?
Yeah. They have a Family Guy game for the PSP.
Okay.
And for... I think the PS2 and Xbox, maybe.
All right.
Not quite sure. If you like the Family Guy, it'll be mildly entertaining because there's some funny stuff.
Guy.
And it's fun to be... You can play...
So you can talk about your novel? Another cool thing
you can do? You going to talk about your game?
You going to play another game? You going to push some buttons?
You can be Stewie...
Brian
or...
Peter. Peter?
And... It's like I say, you know, if you're...
What's the point?
The point is to play the game.
Right. What's the point of the game?
To win.
Win what?
Stuff.
Wow, Dan, that game sounds great.
I didn't play it for very long.
Obviously.
But it's fun. I mean, this is, I guess, what I would say, is that if you are a Family Guy fan, rent it.
Okay.
If you're not a Family Guy fan...
Skip it altogether.
And even if you're a rabid Family Guy fan, don't go out and buy it. Rent it. Rent it first, for sure.
So basically, this is just a little humorous thing.
It's funny. I mean, some of the stuff they'll start saying the same thing over and over and over again, so it gets a little repetitive. And I don't know.
Sort of like the show
on the D20s. Yeah, I like that show.
I like it too, but you know how they'll say something.
Oh yeah,
and say it.
Oh,
and
that's
say it,
right. Yeah,
and say it.
Ah,
and say it. And say it.
Ah,
and say it. And say it.
And then
and say it.
At some point, you think
you're like, suddenly it's funny.
Right. Well, it gets funny, and then it gets not funny anymore.
Right.
On the D20 scale, I'll give it a 15.
15. Okay.
15. 15.
All right.
Okay, the next one.
On to the game.
The Kingdom of Loathing. This is something that our friend Jeff sent me and you, actually. and I hate him for it because I am totally addicted to the Kingdom of Loathing.
Okay.
It's a online MMORPG, web-based. And
can you play with your friends?
Oh, yeah. They've got PvP, dude. I'm in Jeff's clan, and we can trade goods. And
that is brilliant. I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you walk into a store, it won't say these people are in the store right now.
Right.
But you can trade items, you can join clans, and like I say, there's a PvP area. it's really wild. And
I told you massive online role-playing games were addictive.
It's true. The nice thing about this is, well, I don't know if it's good or bad, but whatever it is, they give you adventure points.
Okay.
And each kind of quest you go through, you have to spend a certain amount of adventure points to get through that quest.
All right.
But you only get a limited amount each day. So when you're done with your adventure points, you're kind of done playing for the day, unless you pick up alternate characters.
Okay.
So kind of the good thing about it...
They don't let you play it constantly?
...is that you can't go sick on it for like 10 hours straight.
And they probably do that to balance some server loads and stuff, is my guess.
Probably. Not only balance some server loads and stuff, but you could probably get to like a really, really high level playing it for 30 or 40 hours. If you put 30 or 40 hours into the game...
You'd be Uber. You'd be that guy from the World of Warcraft episode of South Park.
Leroy Jenkins! No. That's, yeah. Although I heard they took some Leroy Jenkins stuff out. They took some quotes from Leroy Jenkins.
They did?
Yeah.
I guess South Park. I don't know who that is, so...
Anyway, yeah, it's a tremendous amount of fun. It's free. So
right.
There's no reason not to. It's funny. I mean, some of the quotes they have and stuff are just...
Well, the character classes are funny.
The character classes are funny. And one of the things that you have to do is before you can sign on to the chat, you have to take a literacy test. And they have a sentence in there that is something like... they're there to get their equipment back. And they have a drop list of all three theirs, all three forms of the word there for each instance, and you have to pick which one is the correct instance.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, it's that kind of shit that's just, you know, funny.
That's funny.
I would recommend it highly for anyone.
All right. Kingdom of Loathing.
Kingdom of Loathing. Lots of fun.
Funny.
All right. And the last
thing we have here is I found a night. I went up to the Wii site just to check today.
Wii.
And they have a nice set of interviews with the
Oh, South Park had a Wii episode, by the way.
And yeah, you were saying that.
Yeah.
This is really interesting. Actually, the initial part that I found interesting was they talked about how scary it was for them to break off of the roadmap they had set for them. The gaming industry as a whole, pretty much, they followed conductors and transistors and all that shit. And he said, and one of the guys said, well, look, the competition in our industry is typically who can build the biggest, fastest machine.
Right. Graphics.
And he said, we finally were like, look.
We're not going to win that battle.
Yeah, not only are we not going to win this battle, that's not what it should be about, you know. And he said it was a really scary step for them to step off.
I believe it.
And he said once they did though, and they kind of
really thought about it.
Yeah, and he said once they kind of figured out what the Wii was going to be, he said everything changed.
Yeah,
you know? He said it was just
they were like, "Damn, this is a fucking good idea."
The best thing they could have done.
Yeah.
And you got to have people like this who innovate to get out of this horrible chain of things that happens. Because we've talked about this before. You know, I don't care if this freaking game, you know, I was originally going to say, well, give me a blowjob, but that would be actually
that would be
very,
nice.
Very, very ingenuitive.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter how pretty
it
is.
Ingenuitive?
If a video game could give you...
I don't think that's a word.
Ingenuitive?
No.
Really?
Uh-uh.
Wow.
We'll
you'll be sorely disappointed
up.
When you look that up on the internet. But, you know, it doesn't matter how great it looks.
Right.
It doesn't matter how many thousands of millions of polygons you can press through that thing in 2 seconds.
It all comes down to the gameplay.
If the game isn't fun, and if I don't enjoy, you know, the interaction between myself and the console...
There is some icing on the cake. I mean, I do appreciate a good-looking game.
Sure.
But that's
how long
not...
do you appreciate it before you go, God, right. it looks great, but man, is this fucking boring.
I've always thought bad graphics, good game equals good game.
Right.
Good graphics, bad game equals bad game. And there's no way around it.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, I am not willing to pay $700-$800 so that I can play good graphics.
Nope.
It's just not worth it
to
me.
It's ridiculous.
And I know it's worth it to a lot of people, but I'm not one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty hardcore about buying every console that comes out.
My problem with that is the reason... The only reason their freaking console, the PSP, is going to cost that much is because of the stupid Blu-ray thing.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of them trying to push their own little custom thing out on everybody else.
Yep. And I don't have a high-def TV, so fuck it. Why would I?
You know what? And they're going to eat that, too.
I think so, too.
I think they're going down
in flames.
I think when the Nintendo releases, they're going to be flying off the shelf so fast.
Oh, yeah.
They will not be able to stack them fast enough.
Nope. And my guess is probably in 08, the next version of the Xbox is going to come out.
Why would they do that?
In 08.
Oh, you mean they're going to say we're working on the next version?
No, they'll. I'm guessing they'll release another Xbox in 08.
Why would they do that?
That's 2 years from now, dude.
They're not even going to be ready to take on what this current Xbox can do in 2 years.
Oh, I disagree. It's been out for a year and a half already.
They still haven't even actually capped out the possibilities of the original Xbox.
I disagree.
They said that. We read articles about that. Those guys were just getting into, the developers were just getting to the point where they were able to take full advantage of everything the original Xbox could do.
All right.
There's no way in 08 that they're going to be like, oh, we need a new Xbox because we can't do things we wanted to do before.
I think they'll say, oh, we need a new Xbox because we can sell more.
They're going to say, we need a new Xbox because the Nintendo is beating the shit out of us.
All right, let's wrap this fucking thing up, dude.
All right.
It's an hour and 15 minutes.
We gave you people some extra bling this
time. That's right, extra bling.
Blingity bling bling.
I put some extra sauce on the podcast this week.
Ew. Pod sauce.
That's pod sauce. Dude.
You turned it off before
I
even said...
What do you have to do, bitch? Just say you're Sterling. He's Sterling, and he's a big fucking pussy.
Dan's Dan, and he gives blowjobs for free. That's totally uncalled for.